north, back again to the north, and saw nothing save the distant hills, unless it were that far away he could see again a great bird, like an eagle high in the air, descending slowly in wide circles down towards the earth. Even as he gazed, his quick ears caught sounds in the woodlands below, on the west side of the river. He stiffened. There were cries, and among them, to his horror, he could distinguish the harsh voices of orcs. Then suddenly, with a deep-throated call, a great horn blew, and the blasts of it smote the hills and echoed in the hollows, rising in a mighty shout above the roaring of the falls. "The horn of Boromir!" he cried. "He is in need!" He sprang down the steps and away, leaping down the path. "Alas, an ill fate is on me this day, and all that I do goes amiss. Where is Sam?" As he ran, the cries came louder, but fainter now, and desperately the horn was blowing. Fierce and shrill rose the yells of the orcs, and suddenly the horn call ceased. Aragorn raced down the last slope, but before he could reach the hill's foot, the sounds died away, and as he turned to the left and ran towards them, they retreated, until at last he could hear them no more. Drawing his bright sword and crying, "Elendil! Elendil!" he crashed through the trees. A mile, maybe, from Path Garlan, in a little glade not far from the lake, he found Boromir. He was sitting with his back to a great tree, as if he was resting. But Aragorn saw that he was pierced with many black-feathered arrows. His sword was still in his hand, but it was broken near the hilt. His horn, cloven in two, was at his side. Many orcs lay slain, piled all about him and at his feet. Aragorn knelt beside him. Boromir opened his eyes and strove to speak. At last slow words came.
"I tried to take the ring from Frodo," he said. "I'm sorry. I have paid."
His glance strayed to his fallen enemies. 20 at least lay there.
"They have gone, the halflings. The orcs have taken them. I think they are not dead. Orcs bound them."
He paused and his eyes closed wearily. After a moment he spoke again.
"Farewell, Aragorn. Go to Minas Tirith and save my people. I have failed."
"No," said Aragorn, taking his hand and kissing his brow. "You have conquered. Few have gained such a victory. Be at peace. Minas Tirith shall not fall." Boromir smiled. "Which way did they go? Was Frodo there?" said Aragorn. But Boromir did not speak again.
"Alas," said Aragorn, "thus passes the heir of Denethor, lord of the Tower of God. This is a bitter end. Now the company is all in ruin. It is I that have failed. Vain was Gandalf's trust in me. What shall I do now? Boromir has laid it on me to go to Minas Tirith, and my heart desires it. But where are the ring and the bearer? How shall I find them and save the quest from disaster?"
He knelt for a while, bent with weeping, still clasping Boromir's hand. So it was that Legolas and Gimli found him. They came from the western slopes of the hill, silently, creeping through the trees as if they were hunting. Gimli had his axe in his hand, and Legolas his long knife. All his arrows were spent. When they came into the glade, they halted in amazement, and then they stood a moment with heads bowed in grief, for it seemed to them plain what had happened.
"Alas," said Legolas, coming to Aragorn's side, "we have hunted and slain many orcs in the wood, but we should have been of more use here. We came when we heard the horn, but too late, it seems. I fear you have taken deadly hurt."
"Boromir is dead," said Aragorn. "I am unscathed, for I was not here with him. He fell defending the hobbits while I was away upon the hill."
"The hobbits?" cried Gimli. "Where are they, then? Where's Frodo?